Seated. We are in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I want to thank David and Patrick for covering for me. Not an easy job, is it, boys? You got to step up there and just do the best you can. No, we're a small fellowship, but we have men who are very capable of expounding and teaching God's word, and that's a good thing. So I do thank you and give you a hearty thanks. This morning we come to gifts in chapter 12, or literally spirituals and the function of spiritual gifts. Paul will now explore this area with the Corinthians. And the activities, and they were big into the gifts of the Spirit and the gifting of the Spirit. However, the word gifts was not in the original manuscripts, and they added the word gifts to basically help our understanding, I believe. And basically, it should simply read spirituals. Paul has been careful there at Corinth to set things in order, and now he's going to talk about spiritual things. In chapter 11, he gives instructions, and he says, "I do not praise you." Now, that's something to say to a congregation, and so we need to look at the rebuke that Paul is giving to the Corinthians. He will go into their eating and partaking of communion. And in verse 11:22, Paul is saying, "What? Or what is going on here in the church?" He's astounded by the carnality of these Corinthian believers. Communion, or the Lord's Supper, as we call it, perhaps it is the most sacred act or ritual of the Christian church. And Paul is dumbfounded by their lack of reverence for the communion services. And he will chastise the Corinthians. And Patrick pointed this out, and it was a needed revelation that they were out of control in communion services. But the communion of the saints has become a ritual within the church of sacredness. Now, we Protestants do not believe the elements of the communion are literally the body and blood of Jesus, but some high worship churches, they believe that. They believe the bread and the cup are literally the body and blood of Jesus. We, the lower church, I was first insulted when I realized that I was of the lower church, but we recognize the body and blood as being symbolic of the blood and of Jesus and his body. So we differ from the higher churches. For Jesus, when he instituted the Lord's Supper, he did it with his disciples before he went to the cross. And thus, the original elements with the disciples were symbolic, and that's our view upon it, that they are symbolic. And we do not believe that communion brings forth salvation. You cannot eat or drink your way into God's kingdom. A person must believe unto salvation by an act of faith, and then you are born again. But partaking of communion, a sacred act of fellowship between Jesus and our Lord, between him and his disciples, between him and us. And now Paul will move into the spirituals, or what we call the spiritual gifts. And that's in chapter 12, verses 1 through 11. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles, carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministry, but the same Lord. And there are diversities in activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another workings of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues, but one and the same Spirit works all things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. Now, spiritual gifts, they're simply gracious endowments from the Holy Spirit to the body of the church. They lead us into God's plans for his church. Paul states right up front, he says, I do not want you to be ignorant. Meaning there was ignorance there. So Paul, he says, don't be ignorant about how the Holy Spirit is directing his church. Several things God does not want us to be ignorant about. One, in Romans 11, 25, ignorance of God's plan for Israel. He's got a plan for Israel. Don't be ignorant about it. And here he talks about don't be ignorant of spiritual gifts that function within his body. And in 1 Thessalonians 4:13, we're not to be ignorant of the second coming of Jesus, i.e. the rapture. Don't be ignorant of it. And surely we're in that day. Unfortunately, there is much ignorance that exists in these three areas within the church. Has the church become more of a social outlet of good activities versus worshiping of God? We have medical missionaries. Now, there's nothing wrong with being a medical missionary. There's nothing wrong with feeding the hungry. And there's nothing wrong with good works. But don't let that become the main issue. We have within the church today a lot of what I call false doctrine. And the biggest one that I will even mention is the promoting of prosperity. You're the king's kid, so all that you want, you're supposed to be able to get. No, God never promised us that. But that has become the primary goal of many churches. Two things cross my desk that are going on within the Christian worlds. How to grow your congregation and how to get more money out of them. So, are y'all giving like you should be? Paul points out, nobody speaking by the Holy Spirit can call Jesus a lesser thing or a side issue. Jesus and the cross are primary to the Christian faith. Jesus suffered the cross for you and I, and we should never get away from that. So those who exercise spiritual gifts will testify of Jesus and his cross. That's what the spiritual gifts are all about. Jesus himself said of the Holy Spirit, he will glorify me. He will take what is mine and declare it to you. Jesus wants us to be aware of the order within the church and how the Holy Spirit is of himself. The Holy Spirit, God the Spirit, does not promote himself, but he rather glorifies Jesus. The Holy Spirit is perfectly content to point us, the body of Christ, to Jesus. So all the gifts of the Spirit should be done accordingly to the nature and way of Jesus. That's what the gifts are about. So does the exercising of gifts bring glory to our Lord Jesus should be a question that we all ask. In verses 4 through 6 in our text points out how gifts of the Spirit, they're different. They're different from one another, but they all should bring glory to Jesus. The giver of gifts is simply the Holy Spirit promoting and pointing us to Jesus. It's that simple. Now Paul points to different types of ministry or different positions of service of ministry. There's one, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastor, teachers. All are called by God and they serve to glorify our Lord Jesus in different and a variety of ways. But the service and the function of the Spirit is in verses 7 through 11. They are to profit all the body of Christ. Your gift and my gift should work together to glorify Jesus and edify one another. So we move into the workings of these various gifts, and we have them listed here by Paul. A word of wisdom. Now, in the book of James, he spells out, if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, and it will be given him. So we're open, we're available to God's wisdom in the workings of the church in our private lives. And then in verses 3:17 in James, he described how wisdom comes forth. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceful, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. James just described how wisdom is and how it should function. So when we receive a word of wisdom, look to see that it's pure. We need the purity of God's wisdom. Is it peaceful? Is it gentle? The word is full of mercy and good fruits. The word of wisdom has no hypocrisy in it. And when called upon to give a person wisdom, and when you get older or you're in the position of a pastor, people will ask your opinion on many things. Best advice, be silent if you don't know. That's hard for us pastors. We like to let everybody know how brilliant we are. And Paul then will move on to words of knowledge. What is a word of knowledge? A word of knowledge should be from above, from God, not our well thought out advice on how to live life. That is not a word of wisdom. I've heard people asking for prayer. And that's good. We are to pray for one another. But when asked to pray, Don't try to give them a word of wisdom that's from yourself. Pray for them. They ask for prayer. Pray for them. And then we move into, and we're just touching lightly on these, the encouraging act of faith. Faith to believe God for his provision or healing. You know, it's easy for me to have faith for you, but it's not so easy for me to have faith for me. Do I try to conjure up faith when I have a need? We can be guilty of that one. Faith is the assurance of God's unseen workings. And faith to believe is a gift from God. I was watching YouTube. I like to watch YouTube. And they were saying, do you have spiritual gifts of healing? The answer to that, no, you don't. Let me help you with that. But they were telling you, you might have spiritual gifts within you. No person has that gift outside of the Lord. But notice something about the gifts of healing, plural, not singular. There is no person with, quote unquote, the singular gift of healing. Gifts of healing are provided by our Lord. There is no blanket that cover the gifts of healing. But God meets each and every need as he sees fit in answering our prayers. The giving of faith many times will bring forth a supernatural act from God, a supernatural healing perhaps. That is a gift of the faith. And try not to limit God to your own mindset. I thank God for good medical care. I really do. We're blessed to have good medical care on the most part here in America. And we benefit from good medical care. And God can use your doctor. He really can. And I thank God that we have good medical care. But the list, it goes on. It continues. And the working of miracles through faith. The Holy Spirit giving us a discerning spirit to know when he's pouring out a gift of faith. The peace of God many times simply can be discerning right from hype. And we've all been exposed to hype. We've all seen the TV preachers that claim to be the healers and so forth. Take that with a grain of salt. Most of them are doing it for the money, let's just be honest, and their popularity and so forth. But one thing I look for whenever I'm desiring faith from God or direction from God, I pray for God to give me his peace. Lord, you give me your peace. I don't want to look at circumstances here. I want to be looking at it how you look at it, Lord. So give me your peace concerning this situation. I depend heavily upon the peace of God in my behavior. I think it's a good thing to do that. Pray for his peace. Lord, I don't want to look at circumstances, but I want to have your heart and your mind towards this situation and go with that peace that God gives you. And then Paul moves on to different kinds of tongues and to another interpretation of tongues. And tongues probably is the great divider within the Christian denomination. when and when we read in chapter 11, when a person speaks in tongues, he is speaking to God. That's critical. A tongue is directed upward to God. Therefore, the interpretation of a tongue, if someone feels so inclined to give it, should be also upward. And many times, raised in a denomination where tongues and interpretation were kind of the norm, that tongue was used in a way where God was speaking to man. That's not the interpretations of a tongue. That is a word of knowledge, perhaps, but it is not the interpretation. For when a man speaks in tongues, he speaks to God. That's in Corinthians 14:2, and it tells us explicitly, when you speak in tongues, you're speaking to God. The interpretation then should follow speaking to God, admiring God, praising God. Tongues are to be used primarily, and not in every case, but primarily, they're to be used in our time of devotions. So, that covers tongues to a degree. But the interpretation of tongues, let it glorify God. It's a beautiful thing when that happens, and we glorify God through the interpretation of a tongue. Many times in Pentecostal circles, I was raised, I know the ins and the outs, the interpretation of a tongue that somebody has spoken begins something like this: "Oh, my little children, if you would just listen to me." Nope. That is God speaking to man. That is not the interpretation of a tongue, which is upward. It's to God. Rather, that tongue should say something like, you know, "Worship me," or whatever. But it is not to be directed or to give instructions to the body of Christ. It isn't. Sorry, I have to differ with you there, perhaps. But when God speaks to man, he will let you know that it's him speaking to you. And I heard someone say, "God has my phone number. He knows how to get a hold of me." And I like that. But there's many times a word of wisdom or a word of knowledge is simply used in the interpretation, but is not the true interpretation of a tongue that is directed to God. The Holy Spirit, he gives us gifts. He wants us to function in the gifts, for they're the edification of the entire body. We all benefit when a body works in the gifts of the Spirit. The Spirit is alive. He directs us towards Jesus, and we benefit when we share in these spiritual gifts. So don't be afraid of the gifts. Don't let them trip you out or anything like that. They are basic. They are from the Holy Spirit, but they will glorify Jesus, and they are for the church today. Amen. Amen. Let me get you to stand. We'll close in prayer. Father God, by your Spirit, we want to be open to your Spirit, Lord. We don't want to hinder you in any way. We don't want to put you in a box of any sort, of any kind, Lord. We want to be open to the moving of your Holy Spirit, the giving of your spiritual gifts to us for the edification of the entire body. So, Lord, use your gifts in our body. Open us up to new areas, perhaps, that we haven't even considered. And let us be men and women who allow the Holy Spirit to function through spiritual gifts within our own lives. Not for ourselves, but for the edification of others. So help us, Lord. Help us to be all that you've called us to be. Help us to be serving you, helping others in a way that is pleasing to you, Lord. And don't let us get all wigged out about spiritual gifts, for they are for today, and they are alive, and they are well. So use us, Lord, to minister to one another. And we pray and ask for this in the name of Jesus. Amen.